Now they're on.
Okay. Praise God. So we're going to continue on. And today I'm going to do level two, pillars one, two, and three. And I encourage you strongly to read Psalm 91, as I read at the beginning today, every day, several times a day, until it comes up like a boiling water inside. I referenced that faith has to come to a boil, and it comes to a boil as you soak in the Word, and soak in the Word, and soak in the Word. Hallelujah. So, today we're looking at God is a giver. We finished off with, it is God's will for all to be healed. You have to become convinced of that, because if you have any doubt whatsoever, the devil will convince you that you're the exception. You're the exception. So that the fact that it is God's will for all to be healed doesn't mean everyone's going to be healed. Because there are a lot of things that are involved in receiving healing. And we're going to see some of them. But what we're doing here is building a foundation. A foundation of the Word of God that will convince us that it is His will for us and how we can receive. And I can tell you that this is the best material I have ever found. I've taken it from a variety of sources, and in my opinion, there's nothing better than these. There were four principal people that I took it from, and that, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, this is just an outstanding way to get it solidly in your spirit. And, of course, with the stuff that's going on today, you can see that there is a need for us to know how to get healed. Amen? Amen. So, God is a giver. Believing that our God is a liberal, generous giver will affect the way that we approach Him for healing. If we think about it, we'll find that James, I'm going to read from James here, is saying the exact same thing that I talked about last week in Hebrews 11:6. So I'm going to, just for the sake of review, I will read Hebrews 11:6 and then go to James. Well, actually, someone here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6.
For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
So you must believe that He's your healer, and must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those are the two conditions here. And it's very, very similar to James. Let me go to James here. Chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Somebody want to read that too? James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
So what we see here is very, very similar to Hebrews 11, because in James chapter 1 here, you must believe that God is a liberal giver. Now, if any of you lacks whatever, Let them ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. So how does God give?
Liberally.
Generously, very generously and without reproach. That's what it's saying. So we must believe that he is a liberal giver. Liberal giver, generous giver, an exuberant giver. And we must ask in faith. No doubting. It goes on to say there that, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Let him ask in faith, but no doubting. Now, how do we get to that place? Let him ask in faith with no doubting. You know, picture this. Pastor calls for those who need healing to come forward for hands to be laid on them. And the person says to themselves, well, I've been prayed for 100 times. Nothing's happened. But what the heck? We'll just see if he's got something this morning. I'll try once more and see if anything happens. What's the problem with that? No faith. See, they believe God can heal, but they don't believe he's a generous giver, can't wait to heal, and they're not coming in faith. Not coming in faith. That's where I'm talking about the boiling things, boiling the water. If you start out and you don't have the faith, you don't give up. We're all in that place at some point, all of us. Nobody has perfect faith all the time. Fortunately, we can do something about it. How does faith come? By hearing. So you soak in that word. You soak in it. It's like you're bringing the water to a boil, and then it's ready. We soak in the word until that word becomes faith. That's what we do. We soak in it. Is that possible? Absolutely. Absolutely it is possible. But sometimes you've got to shut everything out. You know, like I listened to somebody who was being interviewed yesterday. They said they stopped listening to the news because they were becoming full of anxiety and they were terrified. The news rarely has anything good in it. Rarely. And every time this person heard the news, anxiety inside of them would rise. Instead, you soak in the word. What's his news? What news is God bringing? You know, we listen to his news. His news. His news. And sometimes that's tough. Sometimes that's difficult to do. I remember when Christine was in the hospital, every time I saw the chief oncologist, she was trying to convince me, Christine has lung cancer. Your wife has lung cancer. You know, it was her duty to convince me that Christine had lung cancer. You know? But God's word says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So regardless of whatever she had, God was going to heal it.
Amen.
And of course he did. And I think it was to her annoyance, to be honest with you. It was like she was annoyed almost that she got healed. And she couldn't find it. That's the mindset of the world. See, for a lot of people, if they don't see an immediate manifestation of their healing, they don't believe that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Rarely, occasionally, but rarely is it immediate, absolutely immediate. I've seen it a few times, but most of the time, and even scripturally, it takes time. It takes time. And I think the reason for that is because if God gave us everything we prayed for the instant we prayed for it, what motivation would we have to pursue him? Not much. Not much. He's not an ATM, you know? And so it is important to soak in the Word of God so we get to know God. We get to know him. We get to know that we can trust him. We can trust God. Because for people who don't see an immediate manifestation of their healing, they don't believe God is a liberal giver. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that when we come to God, We must believe that he is a giver. We must believe that. We must believe that he's a giver. And also, we must understand that when we come to God for healing, we must believe not only that God is willing for us to be healed, but also that he gives to us upon approach. What does that mean? Well, it's the same thing that's in Mark. In Mark 11, believe you receive when you pray. Believe you receive when you pray. Believe you receive. And for many people, that's very hard to do. That's why I hammer the point home, soak. I hammer it home, soak. That's the only way we're going to get to the place where we can believe. It's the only way. If there was a shortcut, believe me, I would tell you. I'd use it myself. But there aren't shortcuts. You have to come to the place where you know that God is a giver. And he's not stingy. He's not stingy. For people who have made huge mistakes in their lives, big mistakes, they really screwed things up. Most of the time they have great difficulty receiving complete forgiveness from God. They have difficulty with that. I'm not worthy to be forgiven. And so they become double-minded. They want God's forgiveness, but it's hard to believe he could forgive what I've done. So how do we get past that? How do we get past that? How do we get past the place where we feel like, I'm not worthy for God to forgive? Has anyone else ever felt that way? I'm not worthy for God to forgive me? I have. So how do we get past it? Say it again. Soaking in the word. Which word?
The word that shows that God approves and accepts you.
And that he forgives.
He forgives as far as the east is from the west.
Yes. You know, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless him, all that is within me, bless the Lord. He's my healer, and he forgives all my sins. He forgives all my sins.
First.
Amen. There's no condemnation. And 1 John 1:9 says, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, not only to forgive us, what else does he do?
Cleanses
us from all the residue of it.
Amen.
And that's why the soaking is so important, to believe that. You soak in that until it becomes so real. Because when he says to us here, if we're going to please God, we have to believe that he is a liberal giver, a generous giver. We must believe that. That's the criteria. We must. And if we don't, we won't have the confidence to believe and we won't receive. And what does he compare that person to in James here? Person who's tossed. Well, let's read it. James, I believe it's 1:6. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let that person not think they're going to get anything. So if God says that, that means that you and I are capable of coming to the place of being in faith. Otherwise, it would be unfair. If you and I couldn't get to this place, it would be really unfair, wouldn't it? But God's not unfair. But getting there takes effort. It takes effort to get there. It takes effort. Because the person who asks for wisdom or whatever, and yet even as they're asking, they're really not sure God's going to give it to them. They're really not sure. And then they don't get it. And then they kind of decide, well, God didn't want me to have it anyway. But that's not scriptural. See, it's not scriptural. And they end up being tossed back and forth in whatever situation or circumstance they're in. And today, a lot of people are driven and tossed by sickness and disease. Sickness and disease is awful. We need to know that God wants us healed. And you can know that God wants you healed, and yet still, you've got to come to the place where you believe that when we approach God, He's going to give it to us. He's going to give it to us. And that is absolutely essential, because Hebrews 11:6 demands that we believe God is our healer, number one, and demands that we believe equally that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him is another way of saying soak, isn't it? Soak. Those who soak in Him, they soak in Him. Because God wants you and I to have every benefit He's offered, every benefit. Amen. He wants you to have it. He's not withholding it, but we have to come by faith. We have to come by faith. That's what He's telling us here. And of course, in the midst of all of this is Satan, who's looking for any way to tell you, well, you're not good enough, or look what you did, or, you know, God doesn't, not today. He won't give you, He's still waiting to see what you're going to do and so forth. But James here, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, establishes the belief that God is a generous and He is a liberal giver. Now, pillar 2, God is a rich giver. 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 You know, if someone who is living on the street said to you, I'm going to give you $1 million, you wouldn't run home all excited, would you? Because they're not likely to. But if someone like Bill Gates said to you, I'm going to give you $1 million, there would be a little more enthusiasm. But God is a rich giver, and He has everything. The pavement in heaven is made out of gold. The gates are made out of pearls. And we need to remember that our belief system is formed as a result of an accumulation of knowledge. The things we learn, the things that we believe, the things that we receive inside of us. So in 1 Timothy 6:17, let's read that. 1 Timothy 6:17. Okay. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Who gives abundantly. God doesn't hand things out with an eyedropper. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Paul is telling Timothy here, tell the people, this is what God's like. This is what God's like. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So who's us? Who's the us? Well, that's us. Us is us. The children of God. The born again children of God. He gives to us richly. Richly means more abundantly, exceedingly, excessively even. That's the nature of God. The things that he's talking about is a summation of all the blessings of the Lord. All of them. All the promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus. Yes and amen through Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. Now, his power works in us to the degree that we believe, that we will embrace, that we will activate his promises, his word in our spirit. In other words, that we'll bring it to a boil. Just soak in it. Soaking in these Bible verses activates the power that's contained in them. And God wants you and I to have them. He wants us to have them. He's not holding them back from us. He's not. He wants you and he wants me to have all the things that Jesus has freely provided. But it's so important. That's why you've got to soak in it, because there's a lot of teachers. I was listening to a guy on the internet last night, and I thought, oh Lord, I hope he has a tiny, tiny church. He doesn't, by the way. Because he was so against the word of faith, prosperity. It's... I understand that some of them have gone over the edge. That's true. Some have said things that are not scriptural. But because of that, this gentleman was taking everything and just chucking it. Including healing, by the way. That it's never God's will to heal everybody. So anybody who's in his church or who listens to him is going to have a very difficult time believing God wants to heal them, or that God wants to take them out of poverty. That's why it's so important. Take heed what you hear. Take heed, Jesus said. It's really important. That's why you yourselves, you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And it's really important to sit down and talk to him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask him, what is the truth of this? Because in John chapters, I believe it's 13, 14, 15, or no, 14, 15, 16, maybe 13 as well, Jesus talks about the role of the Holy Spirit. That one of the things he's going to do is he's going to explain things to us. He's going to interpret things. He is going to take from the knowledge of God and give it to you. He's our teacher. He's a teacher. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, somewhere around verse 13, it talks about how the Holy Spirit will interpret things for us. He'll explain things. But you know what? In order to be able to do that, we can't put them on a timetable. You know, like, okay, Holy Spirit, I got 15 minutes. Tell me everything you know. That's not the way it works, and it won't work that way. We need to allocate God as much time as he wants and let him determine. Let him determine. Okay, that's two. The pillar three. Again, God is a free giver. He's a free giver. It's not limited. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32. That's worth reading. Romans 8, 32. He, that's God the Father, who did not spare his own son, that's Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, the cross, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. Now that is a humongous promise. And it's very hard for our tiny intellect to be able to completely understand that just hearing it. We're not going to. Not as we just hear it. I mean, we may understand intellectually God's giving us all things. Hallelujah. But it doesn't penetrate that way. It stays up here. We need to bring this knowledge that God freely gives us all things from here into here. And that's what I'm talking about, bringing it to a boil. When it's in here, it's just knowledge. And it may even be really frustrating knowledge, because you're looking at this promise and saying, well, I'm not experiencing this. How come I'm not getting this? Because it takes time for it to soak in. It takes time. It takes time. Faith comes by soaking in that word, by praying over that word, by asking the Spirit of God to unveil it to us so that it becomes real, really real to us. And that does take some time. God the Father gave Jesus, his Son, so that he could legally then give us access to everything he has. Now that's a hard thing to grasp. My brain has a hard time just grasping and understanding that. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have the privilege of participating in and enjoying everything that the Father has provided for us. That's really hard to grasp. You know, your mind hears that and saying, well, that's wonderful, but it's not real to me. Not real, not at this point. And so, given that our Father in heaven was willing to sacrifice his only Son, Jesus, for you and for me, how could we ever imagine him saying no to us when we ask him to heal us? You see what I'm saying? That he says, I'm giving you everything, including healing, including healing, including healing. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 and 8 are really hammer that point home. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all kinds of disease. And then verse 8, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received. In other words, I'm just giving you this anointing and power. Freely give it to others. That's God talking to us. And then, of course, he does it with the 70 later on. And then finally, at the end of Mark, he gives it to all of us. All of us. These instructions are really clear. He didn't say, check them out first, and if they're okay, heal the sick. He didn't say that. He said, heal the sick. Freely you've received, freely give. The power to heal the sick was freely given to them, and they were instructed to freely give it to the people who needed it. That was their instructions. That's the nature of God. That's the nature of God. God's generous disposition to freely provide healing to every person who needed it was made very clear in Jesus' simple instructions to his disciples. Very simple. But for those words to become reality to us, they have to turn into faith. They have to turn into faith. And the way that happens is it's by soaking in it, by saying, I believe this, by praying over it, by worshiping the Lord. It is critically important to understand that all of the promises of God are for us, all of them. But as I was listening to a teaching by Kenneth Hagin last week, on interpreting tongues and so forth. And it's an interesting teaching, but the important point that I pulled out of that was, he said, if you want to be able to hear the voice of God, you need clean hands and a pure heart. You have to live a consecrated lifestyle. You can't be living in sin, criticizing everybody, being mean and nasty, and think God is going to reveal his heart to you. He's not going to. So all of these promises that God has made available, see, as we seek him and soak in them, we're going to be transformed. Be ye transformed by renewing your mind. What is soaking? Renewing your mind. So as we soak, our mind becomes renewed. We start to think the way God thinks. And it begins to change us. In fact, where's the verse? It's in Corinthians, I believe, where it talks about as we behold him, we are transformed. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Let's see if I can easily find it. I'm going to say 1 Corinthians 4:18, maybe. Does that ring a bell with anybody here? No? Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. That as we focus on him, we're being transformed. We're being transformed. Here it is, right here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, that means with an open heart, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're fixed on it, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we do that, God's changing us. God's changing us. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Okay. Any questions on this? Thoughts, ideas? Okay.